is more, and we're excited about that. And we are now 106.1 FM in the Tampa Bay area and 104.3 FM in the Tampa Bay area.
Just because of the range, I mean,
yes.
And
clarity.
Clarity, oh. I mean, you can hear us all over the place now.
Yes, it's really good. So welcome back to Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with my associate pastor, the one and only, the amazing, the incredible, the 8 years of working together that I could not be more blessed. There are just no possible words for this wonderful man of God that sits in the studio in there, and I'm in here in the control room, and I can keep tabs on him through the glass. And that is Pastor Jim Ellsbury, as we fondly refer to him, PJ. Cindy, as you said earlier, you and your family were a part of our ministry in Cornerstone in Indiana for a while, and we have continued to be friends. And a couple years ago, maybe almost 2 years ago, you came down for a little retreat around Thanksgiving that changed your life, didn't it?
It'll be 2 years this year.
It will be.
Life-changing, yes.
Yes. And you came down just to rest, and you ended up becoming a radio partner with us on the air, didn't you?
Came down to run away from life.
Oh! I'm sorry. You came down to run away
I was running away.
I forgot you were running away. Yes, and you ran away all the way to Tampa Bay. Right, folks. If you're going to run away, run away to Tampa Bay.
It's a great place
to
run away to.
Tampa Bay. but my good friends there at Beacon wrapped their loving arms around me, and so did Jesus, and showed me where I needed to be, and. Yes, it was a nice rest and retreat, and as a result, here I am 2 years later. God put me on that path where he wanted me to be, and little did I know on my arrival that I would end up on the radio, that was his plan.
No, you know, that was interesting because it was Thanksgiving weekend, and we always, or the weekend before Thanksgiving, we always have a Thanksgiving dinner at my house the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And so it was that weekend that you came down, that you ran away at a really good weekend to come down. And it happened to be on that Sunday, which was, I don't know the date, but it was our 400th radio show. And we had a cake, we had a party here, and you were here. And at some point, I was in here in the control room where I am at the controls, and I said to you, hey, go in there and grab a mic and get on the air. And you started in with, no. Didn't you do that?
No. I said, no, that's okay. You go right ahead.
And I said, no. I feel like God's saying, get over there and get on a mic. And that was the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm so glad.
Yeah, we
Very
are
glad.
Too.
This has helped, yes, being a part of the radio team has helped keep me grounded, helped keep me focused on God's business and what's going on in his kingdom. It's my lifeline.
Yes.
It's what keeps me connected to everyone and everything God is doing.
Amen. You know, audience, we encourage you to tell others about this show. And Pastor Jim mentioned earlier, we believe God every week for the money to be on the air. And he's never let us down once in 10 years. And now that's a huge statement, PJ, to say that God has paid our bills every single week. And if any of you want to be very blessed by God for your financial offering or gift, we encourage you to go to our website. We don't talk about money. We rarely even ever mention it. BOHMglobal.com. Go to the front page, homepage. Go to the bottom where it says donations. Click on that, and a window will open for PayPal. Mm-hmm. And you can give towards. And your gifts, the gifts that come in that way, all go for the radio. So you feel free. That PJ and I don't even receive salaries, and I don't say that as a... woe is me, because we both have good jobs, but God has blessed our ministry through the years, and people giving and becoming a financial partner with us. And do you have anything to say about that, PJ? We don't ever talk about this, do we?
No.
So this is just God prompting us to talk about it right now.
Right, yeah, and we don't, because, well, we don't really need to. I mean, we do need to, but we don't need to.
Right.
Can you believe that's the treasurer of the church speaking?
That's right, there you go.
But that too has been one of those growing experiences.
Sure.
Because, you know, there are times there are times early on when I would wring my hands and just absolute, oh, what are we going to do?
Right.
And yet God has never let us down.
He's never let us down.
You know, you want to make sure, and we're not asking, if you're going to a church, we're not asking for your tithe.
Oh, no.
Because that
it should go to your church.
To your local church.
Right.
But if you just want to make an offering to bless this ministry, because I firmly believe that this is, and Pastor, you've said this before, it's good soil.
Good soil.
You know, when we pray over the offering, we ask that it be used for furthering God's kingdom. Not mine, not pastors, not Beacon of Hopes, but God's kingdom.
That's right.
And it's the same thing with this radio show. It's not for our glory. It is for God's glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for saying that. Leads us to a song, and I don't know who does this one, Shout Unto God, and who does that one? Do you remember?
I'll have to hear it. I can chime in as soon as I hear it.
The enemy's been defeated.
Woo! Perfect one for talking about Jericho. Take it personally now. Take it personally.
The enemy's been defeated.
For whatever your battle is today.
Death couldn't hold you down, down. The enemy's been defeated.
Amen.
Hey! The enemy's been defeated.
Already defeated.
Death couldn't hold you down. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory, we're gonna make your praises out. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory, we're gonna make your praises out. The enemy's been defeated, death couldn't hold you down.
God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up, Jesus, over whatever situation we're going through in our lives right now. The enemy's been defeated. Jesus did that on the cross. That's Hillsong United singing that wonderful song. The enemy has been defeated. Cindy, talk to us as we go into Joshua 6. PJ is going to tell us the battle plan in the next moment here. Go ahead, Cindy, talk to us.
That song just really witnessed to my spirit to what I'm going through. You know, it's the enemy's already defeated. It is so easy to forget.
Yes.
When we start that grumbling, you know, because the devil starts in, he puts this stuff on us, he plants those thoughts, and then we immediately start grumbling, and we forget, what are we thinking? he is already defeated. He has no ground.
Praise God. Yes.
From the get-go.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
What? I'm so human. I mean, I just forget so easily.
You're human? Okay, good, because we are
the
too.
The human emotions
yes.
come to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the devil knows where to get all of us. He knows
right.
our weak spot.
Yes, he does.
So he plants those mean thoughts, I call them evil thoughts, negative
right.
thoughts.
Right.
Thinking.
Right.
In the
all
forefront of,
it. Of
our mind.
Right.
And we have just got to learn, I've got to learn personally, to nip it in the bud from the very minute it sets in instead of entertaining him and letting him get a hold of me like that.
Amen.
I mean, I've been wallowing in human emotion for a week now over some junk at work, and I have to keep telling myself, God wants you here. God put you here. This is God's planning. This is nothing but the enemy playing with your mind.
Right.
Using other people. Oh, my goodness. He uses other people
yeah.
to affect these thoughts. And it's, you know what? It's people you don't expect it to come from.
Uh-huh.
It's yeah. like you think everything is peachy with this person, and then all of a sudden, something will come out of their mouth, or they'll perform an action that affects you and makes you think, what are they up to? What is going on? Well, where did that come from? I thought she was my friend. I thought we were on the same team. But, you know, I mean, that's what he does. He
that's exactly what he does. That's exactly
in our
what he does.
That we least expect.
Right.
To make us think that they're taking action against us, or that they're coming against us, or that they're not on our team anymore. You know, he pits us against one another.
He certainly does. That's one of the devil's tricks.
And it's in our minds. You know, it's all in our minds. It's not real. I mean, that's the problem I have, is recognizing what is really going on here. Because I let him get that first step in, and it throws my emotions in a tizzy, and then
right.
I'm like,
oh, I know.
What is going on, Lord?
Our audience is saying they relate to you, Cindy. And really,
oh, I'm sure they do. They
you
have
know,
to.
Okay, one of the main things to do here is get time in worship and quiet your mind and meditate on God's promises to you and get the plan of action for whatever it is you need to do. That's what Joshua did here. He got the plan. He worshiped. He fell down before Jesus here. And then he doesn't say if he got the plan within 5 seconds or minutes or whatever. It just says he got the plan. God spoke to Joshua, and he said in verse 7, and then I'm going to let PJ amplify on these directions, I've already given Jericho to you, along with its king and its crack troops. Here's what you are to do. I love that, PJ. I've already done it. It's done. It's sealed. You can't change that. It's done.
And one thing, and this goes back to what Cindy was saying, is we don't fight for victory.
Right.
We fight for victory. And I lose sight of that a lot of
yes.
times. It's like,
yes.
But it's a whole different way of fighting, because
right.
if I'm thinking I have to fight for the victory, that's a lot of struggle on our part.
Oh, absolutely.
But if I know I'm fighting from victory, I've already given the city to you.
Woo!
Jesus paid it all on the cross.
He already did it.
You know,
it's a done deal.
By his stripes, I am
healed.
I was healed. I am healed.
Amen.
Then that way, that's a whole different perspective and a whole different mindset, a whole different power.
Exactly.
Because it's not that I have to struggle to get victory. I've already got victory. I have to fight to maintain it, because Satan is going to try and lie to me and take that away.
Exactly. And this goes along with our new series that we're starting Wednesday night. You're in the will, okay? You're already there. You know, it's already done. It's already happened. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to perform, so to speak. It's a done deal. And this series is going to just absolutely bring confidence and boldness to you listeners. So be sure and tune in. Next Sunday will be our first radio show on the new series. But go ahead, PJ, let's hear God's plan. What was his plan? It's kind of wild, don't you think?
It was kind of wild because, first of all, he wants all the soldiers not to fight.
Not to fight.
But they're going to do some walking.
They're going to walk.
And
these boots were made for walking.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram horns, seven shofars before the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark's going to go out. The priests are going to be in the lead. Then the Ark, then the fighting men.
And the Ark represented the presence of God.
The presence of God. So the priests, seven priests are going to be blowing trumpets. Four are going to carry the Ark and this multitude of men. Now, we talked about this Wednesday night, 6 days, they just go around the city once.
Once.
And, okay, first of all, that must have just looked ridiculous to the people inside the city.
And it was about 5 miles around. That's a lot.
And when you think that was all the fighting men doing this, that would have taken a long time.
Yeah, 5 miles.
So, but, we were talking about the different reactions of the people inside. Probably amazement. They were incredulous. Like, what in the world are these people doing?
Right.
Now, some of them may have felt fear because, they may have seen the Ark of the Covenant and thought, well, they're carrying their God around the city.
Right.
But we talked, too, they may have been catcalling because I'm sure after the third or fourth day, it's like, what are these nutcases doing?
Right.
What are these crazy people doing? They probably were yelling at him from the wall, calling him a bunch of names, and which, again, is just like the devil. As we try and walk out,
yes,
as it were, our deliverance, our victory, Satan's going to, or like you had said, Cindy, get other people.
Yeah.
To, say things against, he'll whisper stuff in our ear. He'll do those little catcalls to try and get us off course because, try and put doubt in our heads. Because I'm sure they're saying, what are you crazy people doing? And if they, if the Israelites had listened, they might have thought, well, what are we doing?
Right.
What in the world are we doing?
Right.
But then, comes the sixth day, and God said, march around it six times, be complete, don't say a word. The trumpets are going to be blowing, and then when you hear the long trumpet blast.
Right.
Then shout.
Yes.
Because
shout.
God has given you the city.
Which the song we just did, shout unto God, mm-hmm. right? Because the enemy has been defeated.
Right.
Which is really what God was saying to Joshua here. When I planned that song today, that was like, whoa. Hearing it come together just now, perfect timing. But shouting to God was the equivalent of striking the city or going, up against the city. But they did it verbally with their mouths, not right. with weapons.
Right, right. Well, there was no way they
could get those through those walls.
Probably get through those walls anyway.
Right.
But God said, I'm going to just, the walls are going to literally collapse in on themselves.
Yes.
So they're just going to fall in on themselves.
Which history, the Septuagint records this, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That is what happened, that they basically went kind of like a sinkhole straight down in the ground.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you find, PJ, that God loves to amaze us with his eccentric, weird ways of winning the battle? I mean, Old Testament's got so many different interesting stories.
Well, yeah.
Don't you love it that it's not by our might? Well, it says in Zechariah 4, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. I'm sorry, chapter 6, I think, verse 4 to 6.
No, yeah, verse 6.
Okay, whatever. It's not by might nor by...
Look it
up to make sure we're right here. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And when we think it is, the victory comes by our ability, our eloquence, our money, our position, our place in this world, whatever that might be, our status, anything. It's not. God says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Did you find it? Zechariah 4:6. You want to read it? What translation are you in today? And then we'll go to Cindy here.
English Standard Version.
Okay. Read that, and then we'll see Cindy's take on this.
Okay. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts."
Yes, that's it. Right there. That is the scripture for this show. Whoa. Cindy, talk to us about all this. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm still stuck on the walls, just collapsing in on themselves. It's God's power is so unbelievable, so supernatural, and I think that's in this life, we try to change our situation with our status, our position. We want more out of this life. We try to excel ourselves by our actions in our finances, how much we, contribute. And, at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters.
It's true.
It's just so mind-blowing that what God does, he does in his power, in his spirit, and we forget that we serve a supernatural God.
Woo!
That this stuff is supernatural. It's amazing. It's nothing ever that we expect.
Right.
He just does things in ways that we don't see coming.
Surprise.
We want to fix everything. Of course, we want to fix everything ourselves in
right.
the natural. And we sometimes sit back, I do, and say, how in the world is that going to happen? How in the world am I going to accomplish that? Or is that going to come to pass? And lo and behold, in an instant, God has that power to supernaturally change the circumstances, knock the walls down, open the door that can't be opened by anyone but him. And that's what happens in my life. God
Woo!
Opens doors that man cannot open. And I have no idea how it's going to come to pass, but know this.
But it
God
does.
Supernatural power will make it happen.
And that's why.
In a day, in an instant.
And that's why we can sing along with this song, I Exalt Thee. I Exalt Thee. Who's the artist here, PJ? Not sure.
Not sure.
Okay. Thank you. Thee, mighty God. Praise God. Praise God. We exalt thee, oh mighty God, mighty God. Pastor Jim, back to this plan of God's here, where the little formation, you've got the priests, you've got the Ark of the Covenant next, you've got horns being blown, right? You've got nobody saying a word, it says in verse 10. Of Joshua 6. Joshua had given orders to the people, don't shout. In fact, don't even speak. Not so much as a whisper till you hear me say shout, then shout away. What was that about, Pastor Jim? And then I want Cindy's take on that.
So sometimes we just need to keep our mouths shut.
I love it. Yes, we do.
You know,
we can defeat ourselves with our mouths.
Oh, absolutely.
And
we've talked about that before. Yeah, it's so easy to say the wrong things and basically speak death and defeat to ourselves.
That's exactly right.
And so many people don't get that concept. You are, because it's what's in your heart that's going to come out of your mouth.
That's exactly right.
Jesus said that. And so you need to change what's in your heart and let that come out of your mouth. So you put the word in your heart, you're going to speak the word, which is going to change your circumstances.
It is.
And again, Joshua said, don't answer him a word.
Don't even speak.
Don't talk. No matter what they say, no matter what, you know, how they yell at you from the wall.
And I agree with you. I think they were probably up on the wall, a bunch of people at on top of the wall yelling at him like, you stupid people, what are you doing walking around our city?
What are you doing? What kind of God do you serve after all?
Right. You can just hear it because, I mean, that's human nature. Cindy, talk to us about that, how God shut these people up. Every day they walked around 5 miles. And on the last day they walked around 7 times. That is 7 times 5 or about 35 miles they walked around on the last day, and they couldn't even talk about how much their feet hurt. Nothing. They couldn't talk to us. Cindy,
he had to just supernaturally sew their mouth shut.
You think?
I think it was an act of their will.
I think they had to obey in this.
They had to. I suppose if they had said one word or gotten out of the Lord's commandment, that things would not have went the way.
That's right.
That was it. They would not have went the way God had planned it if they had not obeyed, if they had opened their mouths and taunted back at these people that were taunting them. And in life, people harass us and they taunt us. And that's just what is going through my head, is how people say things and they whisper things and you think that people are out to get you, they're talking about you, they're working against you, and we start believing this stuff, and the negativity sets up in our mind. And if we believe in our heart that, you know, that the plan is anything different than what God has told us, and we, you know, we buy into that, and I mean, we can, it, just in our, I'm tired, here's a favorite one at work. I'm over this. You know, I'm over this. I'm done with this. It's like the same. I get so tired of the same thing occurring all the time, the negative stuff that goes on. It's so tiring. And instead of that grumbling and speaking those negative words, as you were saying, the tongue, you know, it just enhances the situation.
Oh, yeah. It does. It just makes it
so much worse.
Well, we think we're venting. You know, I hear that term with people. Oh, just let me vent. Okay.
Right.
But venting so often just plays right into the devil's plan for us.
It does, and we don't realize it.
No, we don't.
I'm just venting. When I say those little, two little words, three little words, I'm over it. You know, that right there is just a negative statement allowing the devil to get a foothold in the situation and say, hell yeah, yeah, I'm getting you. I'm getting you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting in there.
Right.
I'm working on you. I'm working on
you. That's right. Wearing you down. Woo, PJ, talk to us about this. Cindy's right.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I know, I mean, workplace, oof. You know, that's such a great place for negativity.
Right.
And it's easy to get swept up into that. So, you know, if you just keep your mouth shut,
right,
then you're fine. I mean, I just read through Proverbs, and one of my favorites is in there where words are many, sin is not absent. So, you know, and even a fool, if he keeps his mouth shut, is thought to be wise. You know, those are two of my favorites. If you just
keep your mouth shut, people will think you're wise.
You're wise. And and besides, when you open your mouth and, you know,
show your ignorance, yeah.
Well, and but, you know, you end up sinning, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you vent, you get angry, words are spoken, and once the words are out there, you can't
bring them back in there. No.
And it's very difficult to win back somebody if you've really, really offended them with your words.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, Satan just loves that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And so here, they're marching around the city, probably being taunted. Joshua says, don't say a word.
Right.
Just don't say a word. And so they go around the city for 6 days. The seventh day was different, however. You know, they were to march around the city seven times.
And they couldn't even complain to each other.
Right.
You know, they were not allowed to talk, period, let alone the responding to the catcalls. They couldn't even talk to each other.
Yeah. And but again, they, you know, God went with them. You know, the presence of God was there. So I can't imagine by the time that seventh circuit around the city on the seventh day, what they must have been thinking. But praise God, they kept their mouths shut until they got around it seven times. There was that long blast of the trumpet, which had to be heard all the way around the city.
Right.
And they all gave a great shout because Joshua said, shout, for God has given you the city.
Oh, he did say that. And it reminds me of the book of Revelation, doesn't it, you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember exactly where it is, but in Revelation, is it chapter 3, where it says, it may be 3:11 is coming to me, but I'm not sure. We're going to go there and take a look. 3:11, Jesus says, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. This is the Message Bible. Keep a tight grip on what you have so no one distracts you and steals your crown. Love that verse. You know, and that's what the enemy would have done, was trying to do to the children of Israel as they walked around that city. The enemy was all, and he is always trying to distract us, you know. And Cindy, you were a part of Cornerstone when I taught that 32 cassette tape series on the book of Revelation. And we entitled it, you know, what was it? Don't let anyone steal your crown, something like that. Because the devil wants to take your crown. He wants to take your blessings. And in verse 12 of Revelation 3, I'll make each conqueror a pillar in the sanctuary of my God, a permanent position of honor. I'll write names on you, the pillars, the name of my God, the name of God's city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, and my new name, and all of this. And he says he's going to come with a shout, and he's going to come with the sound of the trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15, doesn't he, Pastor Jim, mm-hmm. where he talks about that. Do you want to amplify on that before I go to Cindy for a comment?
Sure. I'll amplify on that one all day.
Amen.
You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4,
right.
Matthew chapter 24, it's all the same event.
Right.
The trumpet of God shall sound.
The trumpet, and, like here,
like
a trumpet.
Here. And in Revelation, the seven trumpet judgments, the angel says the last trumpet, the mystery of God will be finished.
Right.
And just like, you know, what's going to happen is Jesus is going to come back. And Joshua, of course, in Hebrew, is Jesus.
Yes.
And basically lay flat the walls of the Antichrist and his kingdom.
Woo! Amen. And, that'll preach.
You know, Jesus will come on that white horse.
Yes.
We'll all be with him when he comes
yes,
back.
Yes, yes.
Out of his mouth shall come that sharp two-edged sword.
Yes.
To defeat all his enemies.
Yes.
And you don't think there'll be some shouting then.
Wow.
Because, you know, it says, the shout, you know, the trumpet of the archangel, the great, you know, the trump of God, the shout, all that's right there at the second coming of Jesus.
And it's right here in Joshua
6. It's right here
6
in Joshua. This is almost a type.
It is a type of that
of
victory.
The second coming.
Yes. And what were they carrying around the city? The Ark of the Covenant, which was symbolic of the very presence of God. Mm-hmm. So when we're carrying the presence of God with us, and now we're in the new covenant, it's in us. The presence of God is in us. We don't have to carry around an ark with us. We don't even have to wear a cross around our neck. It's within us. God lives within his people. Now, Cindy, that's enough to get pretty daggone excited about, you know?
It is, and it is something that daily I walk out of this house and tell myself is, God, you are in me.
Amen.
Show the people that I'm dealing with that you are present.
Amen.
Let your presence be known in this workplace. And wherever I go, let your presence overcome this negativity.
Yes, yes.
Let your presence, you know, have power and dominion over the enemy in the workplace and
right.
everywhere. I've told you before, I ask him, please go to work with me. And he does, and he's with me.
You take him to work every day? You take him
I
to
take
work?
I take him to work every day with me. But still, yet, even though I do those things and I say those things and I ask God to go to work with me and show his presence among my enemies, the devil still tempts.
Yes.
He still tempts me.
Sure he does.
He still taunts me. It's a battle.
It's a battle.
A daily battle.
Yes, it is.
Every day. Between
right.
God within you and Satan himself, the devil.
Right.
It's constant.
Right.
I'm finding, I don't know if it's just getting closer to the end times, or that the more God is with me, the more the devil wants to attack. Living the Christian life is not easy, as you've said before.
Right, it's not.
The devil wants to take your crown. He
right.
wants to destroy your confidence. He wants to steal your joy. And he does so more and more, I think, as time passes for me. I mean, the closer that God is with me, the more it seems like the devil pulls these.
Oh yeah, the trials. Yes, the trials, the persecutions, they increase. Yes.
What I find is so subtle. it becomes
yeah.
more subtle. It's
yeah.
not as easy for him to
True.
Get in there.
True.
It's not as easy for him to attack.
Right.
The stronger we are in the Lord, it's a little bit harder for him to get in there and throw these fiery darts, but yet still he finds a way because he's very crafty.
Right.
And he finds a way to do it through people we love.
Right.
And like I said earlier, it's when we least expect it, and it comes from the least expected source when we get these things. At least that's the way it works for me. And I don't
I agree with you. And I agree with you, and I find that very interesting that we just read those verses in Revelation 3. Don't let anybody take your crown. You know, keep alert. Watch with diligence. You know, all through the New Testament, Peter and everybody's, Paul's talking about hang in there, but also be aware. Be on top of your game here. You know, don't go to the Olympics and think, well, that's all right if I don't medal. It's fine. You know, no, you go because you want to get a medal. Mm-hmm. You want to. You don't have any of them standing up there going, well, I really, you know, I didn't come to win a medal. I just came to swim a little bit. You know, no, they come to win. They come to excel. We've got to do the same in our Christian life. PJ, talk to me before we do this song.
Okay, well, just back to a couple of things you were saying. It's so funny. I'm sitting there, crafty, subtle. Where have I heard those words before?
Right.
And
that's what the devil is.
Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent,
yes,
was more crafty than any creature God had made. And another other translations have he was more subtle.
Subtle. Crafty and subtle.
You know, so.
Uh-huh. We're not talking about craft projects here. We're talking about being kind of sly, and deceptive.
Conniving, deceptive,
and distracting is one of his, and chaotic. These are adjectives to represent what the devil tries to do in our lives.
Well,
Go ahead.
Well, and Cindy, you know, you're so right. As we grow stronger, maybe those frontal attacks aren't going to work so well. You know?
That's a good point.
I mean,
that's a good
he's got to kind of...
I think that's what I was trying to say. Those head-on frontal attacks, I see that coming. Don't even try to play with me, devil. So he takes it to another level.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we've got our guard down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
And like you said, settles his way in there to get in our minds in another way, another direction. He has to use another tactic.
Interesting. You know, it's interesting that God ramped up. Those two words, he's been speaking to me for quite some time, PJ and Cindy and audience, that God is ramping up in this day and this time his spirit and his ability to change our circumstances, that we are being ramped up in the spirit. And when I think of ramped up, I think of like a handicap ramp that walks up. You know, you two probably have not been to one of the Rays baseball games, but when you come down off the third highest part of the Tropicana, you can go around and around and around a ramp to go all the way down. And I've often said as I exit games that way, I'm glad I'm going down this ramp. You know, if I was going up, it would be steep going all the way to the very top of Tropicana Field that way. And what God is doing is he's ramping us up in the spirit. And it's getting steeper. And it's getting sometimes a little harder. You acknowledge that, Cindy. Sometimes seems like our battles are bigger. But when we get there and we see the view, for instance, from the top of the Tropicana down on the baseball field, it's absolutely gorgeous. Of course, I think one of the most beautiful things in the world is a baseball diamond. But just the same, it is beautiful from up there. And from God's perspective of us, when he's looking at us from his place of victory, he's going, I'm ramping it up. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? CJ? Whoa, that was a slip. PJ?
Yes, I do. Especially, I mean, kind of bringing it all back, because Cindy had said, I don't know whether it's just me growing or the end times. Girlfriend, it's both.
Yes.
Okay. We're getting really, really close. I can't believe I said girlfriend.
You did say girlfriend to Cindy. And I said CJ, the name of my past
okay.
girlfriend.
You know,
all right, you're his girlfriend.
That girlfriend.
All right, okay. You're his girlfriend.
It's both. I really believe that. I mean, and all the more reason that we need to keep our mouth shut and need to open it to praise God.
Amen.
Because you look around the world today, and it's just disaster after disaster after disaster. And I happen to be, you know, Pastor, you and I have talked real quick here. I'm reading some of the wisdom literature in the Bible.
Yes.
And I'm in Ecclesiastes. And, oh, my heavens, is that a depressing book.
Yes, it is.
But that's what happens when people get here. This was written by Solomon, who was so blessed by God.
Yes.
And yet he's such a bitter old person by the end of this.
Yes.
By the end of his life, he'd gotten away from God. He just became bitter. And that's what Ecclesiastes, it's just a bitter book.
Right.
And I almost thought about just stopping reading it. But God said, no, keep going. But because, again, it's like this is what can happen. If we walk away, if we don't continually stay in God's presence. I mean, his presence is always with us. we, like you do, Cindy, we need to remind ourselves of that.
Amen.
And continually praise him, we could end up just writing our own book of Ecclesiastes.
Right. Which is why we are going to do this triumphant song right now. And wherever you are, dear audience, why don't you join us and sing about his awesomeness? You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your holy grace. I can only bow down and
worship him with us right now. Know it, sing it with us. Oh, You are awesome. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. Lord, you are awesome in our lives. We give you all the glory and the praise. You are doing a mighty work in each of us. We thank you for your precious word that's gone forth today in power and anointing. And Lord, you get the glory, you get the praise for what you're doing in each heart, what you're doing in Cindy and PJ and me today, plus all of our listeners who are listening currently and later on. Lord, we know that you're our strong, strong defender. You're our fortress. You're our refuge in the midst of the storm. You are all we need. You are the strength of our lives. And you give us peace, and you provide answers for our lives. So we can't help but praise you. We can't help but worship you today with all our hearts, because our hearts are full of your praises. Our hearts are full of worship for you. You are awesome. You're awesome in our lives. And we love you so. Lord, we just ask that you bless every listener. Every listener. Just anoint them anew today with your presence, your joy, your peace, and your wisdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Ooh, Cindy, do you have something you want to say after that?
Very, very moved by the song and thanking God for a new anointing today. A fresh perspective and anointing on my life and for all the listeners. I hope you receive that also. God is
Amen.
So good,
Amen.
And he does provide the answers
Amen.
To our plan
yeah.
that he has for this life.
Yes.
If we will let him and receive it, he has all that we need
Amen.
To guide us
Amen.
Through he, this life.
His plan's the best plan.
I'm so moved by that song.
Praise God. Me too. I could have listened to that for hours. You know, as we worship, as we take time to bask in his presence, like with a song like that, it's life changing. Pastor Jim, I feel like I could just go out and conquer whatever I need to conquer right now because of the show and because of what this music has done in our lives today.
And
thank you, Cindy, for sharing that.
As the song was playing, going back to something Cindy said about taking God to work with you.
Yeah.
Well, and I was thinking, kind of changing the words just a smidge, you are awesome in my heart,
Amen.
Mighty God.
Yes.
Because that's where he lives.
Yes.
And then, but, you know, we don't have to think of him only being, I know we always sing it at, you know, church, but he's not just there. He's wherever we're at. So
right.
you're awesome in this place, in the radio station. You're awesome at Cindy's house.
Right.
You're awesome at Cindy's work. You're awesome at my work, at pastor's work. Lord, you're awesome
yes.
in all those places.
Amen.
And I just thought, you know what? I need to walk into work tomorrow morning and be singing that song. You're
yes.
awesome in this place. Just walk around, because I'm usually about the first one there anyway.
Yes.
Just walk around the building singing that song.
Let's do it Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Because you know what? That's what it's all about. When we recognize God as being awesome in our circumstances, like Jericho that we've just talked about, no matter how intense our circumstances are that are coming against us, mm-hmm. when we recognize the awesome power of Almighty God and we trust him for the answer, no matter whether we can see it or not, and we praise him through the pain, we praise him through the heartache, we praise him because we can't, all we can do is thank you, Lord, even though it hurts, whatever mm-hmm. we're going through. He always comes through for us. He always shows up. And I'm reminded of our verse for today that turned out to be our verse for today that wasn't planned, of course, Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power. It's not by our effort. It's not by our abilities. It's not by our wisdom. It's not by our intelligence or our position in life. It's by God's power and right. his awesomeness.
And when we first talked about that, I thought of what Paul wrote in Philippians. You know, I was this, I was that. I had all this going for me.
Right.
And yet I count it all as loss.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
All that stuff is not important when it comes to knowing Jesus.
That's it.
You know, and you know,
and he's awesome in each one of our circumstances.
Amen. No matter what the circumstance is.
No matter what it is. 30 seconds, Cindy. Give us a final word.
I love God. I love his awesomeness. I'm just so engulfed right now in his power. And
praise God.
Thought of what he can do, what he can do, what he's capable of doing, and all this junk, that emotion and life that the devil throws at us is nothing compared to
Amen.
To God's power and his love for us.
Amen.
It
Amen.
Means nothing. Whew. I'm just worshiping him right now.
Amen. You go right ahead and do that, and I'll see you in about 10 days, Cindy. And oh, thank you for being on the show. Yes. And PJ, a final thought here.
We can do nothing better than praise him.
Amen.
That kind of sums up the whole series, I guess.
I guess it does.
You know, we can do nothing better than praise God.
Praise God.
Because of all its benefits, which we've gone over in the past weeks.
Yeah.
There's no higher calling for us.
No. He's right there ready to help us no matter what it is we're going through. So we just speak over you, audience, wherever you are around this globe, that you will draw close to God, because God's word says, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. That's in James chapter 4. So draw close to him, dear one, and worship him. Get some praise music going. Get your praise on. Get your worship on. And know that God loves you so very much, no matter what it is you're going through. No matter how many times you feel like you have failed God, God loves you. You are special to him. And do remember that. And know that it's not by might or by power, but by his spirit. And he will fight the battle for you. This has been Cindy Logan up in our Indiana branch, and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, right here in our Clearwater branch, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope, and it's not far to Jesus. God bless you, gang. We'll see you next week live right here at 3 o'clock. Have a great week. It's not far.